The light in the heavens was darkened. The earth was an ashen gray. The sky overhead with ominous clouds had cast out the light of day. From far, far above, the thunder rolled, and from deep in the heavens a crash. The earth reels and a blinding light explodes in the sky with a flash. A death-bearing hurricane it was. Grown men were filled with fear. Trees were bending, windows breaking, panic far and near. Even invading troops on the march and the sound of enemy fire would not invoke more fright than this. What awesome, unbridled power. But, oh, dear Christians, stop and think. The most deadly storm in the world is only a tiny fraction of the power of God unfurled. We cannot grasp its awesomeness. We stand on holy sod. For, beloved, that same incredible power lives in every child of God. The awesome power of God. It is beyond human comprehension. His creative power is beyond comprehension. He speaks and worlds come into being. His sustaining power is beyond comprehension. He holds the whole universe together by the breath of his power. His transforming power is beyond comprehension. At his touch, a dead human spirit residing in a soul destined for eternity in hell comes to life, and finite man becomes eternally inhabited by the living God. His righteous power is beyond comprehension. At the sound of his voice, nations crumble. At his touch, wicked kings and kingdoms simply perish off the face of the earth. According to Matthew 24, one day he will speak and the earth will tremble. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give forth its light. Stars will fall from heaven and the powers of earth will be shaken. One day his righteousness will be vindicated with power. Power beyond our comprehension. None of us fully grasp the power of God. You cannot grasp it. Just as you cannot grasp the magnitude of the Grand Canyon by staring at a tiny pebble, so you cannot grasp the power of God by taking the most powerful thing you know of on earth and multiplying it over and over. You cannot grasp the power of God by taking man's concepts and multiplying them to the nth degree. It won't touch the surface. You cannot even fathom the power of God by taking what you see of the power of God and imagining that to be a measuring stick of its awesomeness. For instance, you cannot measure the power of God by an erupting volcano. You cannot measure the power of God by a blinding snowstorm. You cannot measure the power of God by the debris of a drought or the wreckage of a flood. You cannot gauge the power of God by what you see, because what you see is such a tiny portion of his power that it would not even register on the scale of eternity were you trying to measure it. The power of God, beyond our comprehension. And yet it is possible, in fact it is necessary according to Scripture, to come to understand what we can of God's omnipotence. We are told in Scripture we cannot comprehend it totally, and yet we're told to sing about it. We're told to worship at the thought of it. We're told to reflect of it constantly as we walk by the way, as we appropriate it for ourselves. His is the power. And that's the vein of truth that runs beneath the surface of every effort of God's to teach us about his lordship. It is one of the anthems of praise Jesus told us to sing as we conclude our prayer. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory. And so did Jesus teach us to praise. We studied in our last lesson the principle of kingship. We learned that a kingdom is a sphere in which a king occupies preeminence and exercises authority. We learned that his is the kingdom for three reasons. His is the kingdom because he created us. His is the kingdom because he redeemed us. And his is the kingdom because we chose with our own free wills to ask him to rule over us. His is the kingdom. But you see, you cannot separate the fact that his is the kingdom from the fact that his is the power. Because a king only can exercise authority if he possesses the power to exert that authority. It's of no value, for instance, for a policeman to warn you not to speed if he does not possess the power to stop you from speeding or to punish you for speeding. With God, that's no problem. His is the power. All power belongs to Him. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful God of creation. Nothing there is that He cannot do. Therefore, there is nothing we cannot trust Him to do. We can trust His word because He has the power to keep it. We can trust His love because He has the power to demonstrate it. We can trust His righteousness because He has the power to defend it. His is the power. That's the title of today's study, Thine is the Power. And our outline takes this form, just three simple steps. Thine is the power. What is the power? Whose is the power? Now, when our gracious Lord instructed us to praise the Father for His power, He was teaching us to pray effectively. He was teaching us that only God possesses all power. He is omnipotent. Psalm 62:11, a good verse to memorize, says this, God hath spoken once, yea, twice have I heard this, power belongeth to God. Power belongs to God. And when the Christian prays, Thine is the power, he is bearing witness to the fact that the Creator, God of heaven and earth, not only owns all things, he possesses the energy, the authority to bring to pass anything he chooses to do in the kingdom over which he presides. He owns it all, and he owns the power to rule it all because his is the power. Now, what is power? Kings and presidents risk their kingdoms to maintain power. Young men in search of success barter their reputations oftentimes, sacrifice their families in quest of power. Nations store up arms to defend themselves against enemy invasions by those who are seeking to expand their power. And yet it's all so futile. For in the end, beloved, the power belongs to God. Psalm 75, 6 and 7 says, you recall, promotion cometh neither from the east, nor the west, nor the south. God is a judge. He putteth down one, he lifteth up another. So you see, man's quest for power is useless at best. He will risk everything he has to gain power, and as quickly as the second hand on the clock makes one move, his venture, his kingdom, or his dreams can be destroyed. And likewise, in the same split second, a sovereign, omnipotent God can lift up one, put down another. Power belongs to God. Now, the words power and authority, as used in the New Testament, come from different roots. But essentially, they can be summarized into one simple definition. Power is the authority to rule combined with the ability to rule. One writer stated it so well, he said, power is the right accompanied by the might. The right comes from the fact that his is the kingdom. The might comes from the fact that his is the power. The power of God, then, is his ability to exercise his strength based on his authority to do so. Because he is the sovereign creator God who made us and redeemed us, he has the right to do whatever he chooses, and whatever he chooses is best. But because he is the omnipotent one, beloved, he has the might to do whatever he deems it is right to do, with no exceptions. The power belongs to God. Our God is power. It is part and parcel of who He is. When He breathes, power comes forth. When He speaks, power comes forth. When He decides, power comes forth. He is power incarnate, and that power exhibits itself in thousands of ways. In this morning's lesson, we'll only try to look at five of them. Those five are these. The power of God in creation, the power of God in the elements themselves, the power of God in the nations, the power of God in His Word, and the power of God in His people. Now, first, let's look at the creative power of God. By that, we mean that only God can make something out of nothing, and that everything that is good and acceptable has as its origins the heart of God. Now, think about it. God simply speaks, and it happens. Because He alone has the right to create something out of nothing, and because He alone has the might to create something out of nothing, the Bible says He made this earth by His power. Now listen to what the scriptures say about the creative power of God. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. He hath made the earth by His power, established the world by wisdom, and stretched out the heavens by His discretion. When He uttereth His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. Jeremiah 32 says, "Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee." And then God answers, "I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" You see, God spoke and the sun gave light. God spoke and the moon appeared in the heavens to reflect its glow. God spoke and the oceans rose and flowed across the confines of this planet until God spoke and the water stopped and the boundaries were fixed. God spoke and the stars filled the sky like glistening diamonds, each assigned its own place in the heaven, each with a distinctive name, each with a story to tell of creation, each with a story to tell of redemption. God spoke and there was day. God spoke and there was night. God spoke and there was man. God spoke and there were animals, fish, birds, flowers, trees, clouds, rain. God spoke, there was winter. God spoke and there was spring. Everything in its own season, everything in its own time, but everything by God's hand. He is the creator. He made you, and he alone can remake you into the image of his son. The very creative acts of God alone tell the story. His is the power. Do you realize what that means? It means if God can speak and bring something out of nothing, then, beloved, that same God can take the debris of that tragedy in your life, and simply by its touch, by his touch, he can turn sorrow into mourning, weeping into joy. It means that when God says he will speak and the dead will rise, beloved, we have no cause to doubt. To bring life from death is nothing to God. He it is who brought life from nothing. Secondly, God demonstrates his power through his control of the elements of nature. Not only did he create all things, he sustains all things, the scripture says, by the breath of his power. He's able to sustain this universe with all its turmoils and upheavals and rebellion against his authority. He sustains the perfect blend of chemicals, the perfect blend of temperature, the perfect orbit of the planets, the perfect arrangement of the forces of nature. God upholds all things by the word of his power. Should he but blink his eye, this world and all that is in it would cease to be. Should he but look the other way, we could not breathe the air, we could not sustain the gravity, we could not keep the balance of nature for 1 second. He is the sustainer God. What he creates, he keeps. And he can do that because his is the power. And doesn't God's physical world but teach a spiritual truth? So his sustaining grace is a portrait of how he sustains our salvation. 1 Peter 1:5. You who are kept saved by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last day. And doesn't all of nature wait on God for instructions? It is God, according to Psalm 65:6, who by his strength sets fast the mountains, girded with power, who stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their ways, the tumult of the people. Psalm 107 goes on, he commandeth, and he raised the stormy wind. He lifteth up the waves thereof. He makes the storm calm, so the waves thereof are still. Our God can speak to the wind and it ceases to blow. Our God can speak to the seas and the waters become calm. Our God can speak to the sun and it will cease to shine. All of nature is in submission to our God. Can he then not but speak and the winds that blow against our lives be stilled as well? When it is within his will, cannot he calm the waves that lash against us and cause the storms to cease? Beloved, he can. Because his is the power. Thirdly, our God demonstrates his power among the nations. Scripture says he sets up one king and puts down another. He allows nations to rage and war against one another, but only for a time and only for a purpose. Beloved, when he has had enough, the strongest of kings is melted like wax. When he's had enough, the strongest of armies are overcome by the same raging sea, which simply opens up as a roadway for his own people. When he has had enough, those nations who defy his name and deny his word will perish. When our God has had enough, those who shake their tongues in derision against tiny Israel will be no more. You see, the nations belong to God. And the power of God reaches all the way to the throne and back, for his is the power. Listen to what the scriptures say. 2 Chronicles 20, in thine hand is there not power and might? so that none is able to withstand thee? Psalm 46:6 says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. Sounds like today. But listen to the rest of the verse. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Psalm 66:3, how terrible art thou in thy works! Through thy greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Isaiah 17:3, the nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off and be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind and like a rolling thing before a whirlwind. Isaiah 23 says, he stretched out his hand over the sea and he shook the kingdoms. My friend, the nations are no problem for God. Stop being so frantic over the plight of the world. Let not your heart be troubled over international disasters and wars that loom on the horizon of this battered universe. My friend, when our God decides to act, the heavens will shake, the mountains will crumble, the trees will bow in submission to his name, and kings and kingdoms will vanish at the breath of his mouth. They may rant and rave for a season, but when God chooses to act, the nations will rest in the palm of his hand. Because his is the power. The fourth evidence of God's great power is demonstrated in the authority or the power of his word. You see, the difference between the power of God and the power of man is that when God speaks, it always comes to pass. Nothing can stop it. When God uttered his voice, it is done. That is the ultimate power. And the scriptures are clear that his is the power when his word goes forth. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 2. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Now thou shalt see whether my word shall come to pass or not. And how about Psalm 33:9? He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Isaiah 14:24-7. Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. The Lord of hosts is purposed, and who shall disannul it? His hand is stretched out, who will turn it back? Isaiah 46:10-11, my counsel shall stand, and I shall do all my pleasure. I've spoken, I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed, I'll do it. I love Romans 4:21. It's a good one to memorize. What he has promised, he was able also to perform. And God's not finished yet. Hebrews 12 says, God's voice shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Our God is a consuming fire. You see, our God is able to keep his word. He will said he will return. He will. He has said he will judge the nations. He will. He has said he will unveil a new heaven and a new earth, and he will. His word is perfect, and his is the power to keep that word to the letter. Oh, beloved, that means every word of God proves true. It means we have an anchor in a world that's falling apart at the seams. We have a sure word that cannot fail, spoken by a God who has the power to keep his word to the letter. What he's promised, he'll perform. Praise God. One last thought. God's power is evident over creation, over the elements, over the nations, and in his word. But there's still another place he demonstrates that power with such faithfulness that it's an even greater source of comfort. His power is manifest in the manner in which he reaches down and meets the needs of his own. He may part seas, bring water from rocks, or he may simply send showers on a needed parcel of land in answer to prayer, move the heart of an enemy to protect his own. But my friend, your God loves you, and his power is an expression of that love. He will protect his own. Psalm 76, at thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a deep sleep. Who may stand in thy sight when thou art angry? And Daniel 3:17 is worth memorizing. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. And out of thine hand, O Satan, it might be said. You and I serve a God of infinite power. There is nothing he cannot do. He can speak and the world will stop turning. He can speak and the stars will cease to shine. He can speak and the earth will turn on its axis in the opposite direction or cease to turn at all. We serve a God whose name is power. But beloved, when you fuse that power with his love, you have a God who cares, provides, protects, and intervenes for his own. So you see, not only is his the power, but because his is the power, ours is the power. Paul spoke of the same power that raised Christ from the dead now being resident in you, in me. Because there's nothing he cannot do when we free him to be himself in us. There's nothing we cannot do so long as we are yielded to his kingdom's coming, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Beloved, we are invincible. Enemies may shake their fists. Some may rise up and curse the name of God. Persecution may abound. Circumstances may cloud the sky until the sun fails to shine, but beloved, you and I have a word from God. At the precise moment in time when it will most bring glory to his name, our God, who neither slumbers nor sleeps, will rise up on our behalf as well. And once again, just for you, the earth will tremble, the mountains will shake, the trees will bow in homage to his name. And our precious God will move into that situation that seems so impossible. And those walls that seem so impenetrable will melt before your eyes. Because, beloved, the power belongs to God. So why not talk about his power as you walk by the way? And sing about his power as you go through the day. Praise him for his power as you worship and as you pray. For beloved, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we stand confidently before you this morning because thine is the power. Not only do you have the right to do as you please with us and with this world, but praise God, you have the might to go with the right. You will protect us, you will comfort us, you will provide for us, you will encourage us, you will transform us, and you will keep your word. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. He has the power to return. He has the purpose to return. He has the plan to return. He will return. May we leave this place today with a song in our hearts and with confidence on our lips that our God owns all the power. And because he does, ours is the power as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message by Russell Kelfer, founder and director of Discipleship Tape Ministries of San Antonio, Texas. Feel free to contact us on the World Wide Web at www.dtm.org. That's dtm.org. Or you may write to us at the following address, Discipleship Tape Ministries, 10602 Moss Bank, San Antonio, Texas. And the zip is 78230. Well, thank you for listening. We pray God's richest blessing may be yours as he continues to live his life in you.